This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي يا ربي أمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Welcome to another Tuesday night program where this time we're gonna touch a hot topic, as I always call it, one of the hottest topic related to women. One of them is not all of them, but this is definitely one of them, is the hijab. And I use this word and we put it in the title simply because this is the commonest word used to refer to the woman dress code, Islamic woman dress code. And it's so interesting, subhanAllah, that this is not a new topic. It's been there as long as I can remember, probably definitely more than 15 years ago, because I was still studying in the United States. I have not yet moved overseas to study formally. And there was a huge discussion in our community that I was asked to give a talk about it. And subhanAllah, I still remember it was one of the most well-attended talk. Why it is so interesting, if I want to use the word, why it is, once you bring this word or that topic, why it bring a lot of attention, including this Tuesday, this today. SubhanAllah, we already start getting questions and start getting requests, cover this and discuss this and this and that. Let's put it this way, and I am going to speak from my heart today, as well as my beautiful guest who I will introduce very soon. This is very personal, and it is not an easy topic to discuss, to practice, to defend. It's extremely challenging. And I'm going to start by saying this. Every woman who's listening to me, or every man, every Muslim who's listening to me, and I'm speaking again from my heart as a woman who put her hijab not as a very young age. It is not easy to do, especially in the beginning. And it is not easy to keep, again, especially in the beginning. It brings a lot of challenges, brings a lot of conflict. And I'm talking internal, let alone external. Internally, as a woman, wearing the headscarf and wearing Islamically pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dress, especially in this day and age, is not easy. And I always say this to every woman. If you think this is easy in the beginning, then I will say two things. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with something you have to be extremely grateful, or you probably have not done it yet. So I'm not going to start this topic by saying, what is the big deal? Why we have to talk about it? It's very common. Everybody should do it. Everybody should do it. But it's not easy. And this is what we are, inshallah, going to try to cover today. There's a couple of issues or couple of points makes this topic even more difficult. The argument, and I'm going to put it in 5 points, and my guest who I will introduce very soon, we will cover as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in our time. And I will ask my beautiful audience, please write your questions. We will do our best to entertain. And as much as Allah again put barakah in our time. The controversy about it, if you want to use the controversy, Islamically there is no controversy. I'm talking about reality, what we live in, the society around us, in Muslim and non-Muslim world. The question of obligation. People argue that it is not an obligation. It's not in the Quran. It was not meant for everybody. That's the number one. Second point we're going to cover, inshallah, Is it really a choice? Did Allah give me, as a woman, a choice to do it or not do it? And if I do it, I will be a better Muslim in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I don't do it, that's my choice. Because that's, we hear this a lot. And we really have to look at, in it. And I'm asking everybody who's listening to me today, again, men and women, I want you to open your heart. And don't bring anything else. Just be as if you have an empty cup. And we're going to speak very frankly, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So is it an obligation? Is it a choice? Or I have no choice? Number three, why it is so difficult to, number one, to put it, to take that path. And even more, why it is so hard to keep it, keep wearing it. And this is what we are seeing. And one of the comments I had for the last 2 days, once we start advertising this topic, is please, it's becoming norm. Even not very young ladies are taking it off. What is the issue? Why it is so hard to keep it? And the last thing I want, inshallah, Allah again will put barakah in our time. What is the solution? How do I make it easier? How do I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my daily life, in everything? And today we are focusing on the hijab. How do I make it easier? What is the solution? Just do it? Yeah, I can say it. But who is going to listen and really practice it? So it's given me a great pleasure to have in our Tuesday program a very dear human being to my heart. And interestingly, I didn't remember I met her, subhanAllah. She just told me recently that I met her more than, 12, 15 years, if we can have Sister Maryam on us on the screen. And it was actually in the MCA in California. And I was just telling her, it was the first year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested me by not inviting me to go for Umrah in Ramadan. And this is before I moved to study. And it was extremely hard for me. But I said, okay, my sister lives in California, so I'm going to go and visit them in Ramadan. And I spent the last 10 nights in the beautiful Masjid of MCA. And Sister Maryam was just telling me, I came and asked you a question. Of course, I don't remember. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So it gives me a great pleasure. We met again, not in person yet. May Allah make it happen. Actually, we have a beautiful group. It's called Female Scholar Group. And it is a beautiful group. I cannot speak enough about it. Where you have all these women from different parts of the world. SubhanAllah. Different ages, different background, different location, different studies and background. But all join in. They studied Islamic studies and their goal is to serve this deen. And this is how we reconnected with Sheikha Maryam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her. And I'm going to introduce her as the first thing I love to introduce women always. She's a mother. And she's a mother of two. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. And I think it's 4 and 2, ya Maryam?
Yeah.
Is it 4 and 2, tabarakallah?
Yeah.
2 boys? Yes.
Two boys.
May Allah bless them. 4 and 2. The second thing I would love to introduce her is, she is the carrier of the Book of Allah, Hafiza li Kitabillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you Hafiza, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran Hafiz laki, that it keeps you. Now, the other interesting thing, which this is very common discussion, she also studied non-Islamic studies. And she's actually a graduate, she has a bachelor's degree in child and adolescent development from San Jose, California University, and a second bachelor degree in Islamic study through Al-Azhar University. Alhamdulillah, memorized her Quran. She's also a part of Al-Hikmah Academy. Am I right, ya Maryam?
Hikmah Institute, yes.
Yes, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And she, with all what I just shared with you, with the 2 boys, 4 and 2, Alhamdulillah, she has traveled. She has given a lot of talks, and she has a beautiful project that I would love for her to talk about it later in the program and to spread the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the nice, in the beautiful way, and most importantly, what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Welcome, my beautiful Sheikha Maryam, with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, and may Allah reward everybody. We already have more than 150 people joined us. I told you the topic is a hot one.
Hot topic, yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Allah ybarik fiki ya Maryam. Come on in, bismillah.
I just wanted to start by saying it's such an honor to be in the same space as Dr. Haifa. I'm basically going to be listening and nodding and clapping and saying Allahu Akbar the entire time. And that's my role. But everything that she said, it was such an honor to meet you when I did. SubhanAllah, I had a question. I had literally no one was in the masjid except for you. And SubhanAllah, I don't know why you weren't meant to go for Umrah that year, but I had an urgent question answered for my worship. May Allah bless you and reward you and raise your ranks. And alhamdulillah for the opportunity to be in touch with you and learn from you now, inshallah.
So as we discussed earlier before the program, yeah, Maryam, number one, is this an obligation? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And I always say this, there is things in this deen that is not easy, especially in this day and age. My first step to accept it is accept it's an obligation. That's the first thing. Now, practicing it is the next step. Yes. Allah will make it easy. Ya Rabbi, help me. I'm weak. That's a different story. But to start with, and why the issue that it is not an obligation? Why? Simply because of this. Because in the Quran, the word hijab, it's used, but it is not used in that context. Mm-hmm. It is not used in the context of dress code. And that's where the confusion comes in. So where is it in the Quran? And I had this discussion again, probably the same time we met. And this time was with a man. And he kept telling me it's not in the Quran. And I said, you're right. It's not in the Quran. He couldn't believe I said this. And I said, the word hijab is not in the Quran related to the dress code. However, there is two verses in the Quran. And I'm going to just refer to them. But I'm not going to go to the whole detail of tafsir. Because we are going to cover the whole topic. It's two places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the dress code of the woman. One is in Surah An-Nur. And Surah An-Nur is 24, the chapter. And the verse is 31. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ Say, Rasulullah, to the believing woman, you and me, every believing woman is hearing us. Every believer, you believe in Allah, you believe in the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, this ayah is for you. يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ Lower your gaze. وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ And guard your private part. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ That's number one. Don't show your beauty. Please remember this phrase. Because this is so much related to the topic. Don't show your beauty. إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا Except what it is obvious or it needs to be shown. And now, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ That's the verse. يَضْرِبْنَ literally to hit. But in reality, it's not to hit in the Arabic language only. It's whenever two surfaces are attached to each other. Al-darb, you use it when someone hits someone. Why? Because that part of your body is touching and getting attached to the other part of the body of the person being hit. Or when we say daf, the music instrument, and we hit, we call it darb with daf because it is touching. يَضْرِبْنَ So bring something close to something. What is that, Ya Allah? بِخُمُرِهِنَّ That's the word. There is no hijab here. What is khimar? Khimar, we need to learn the language of the Quran and the language Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used and the Arabic language. Al-khimar from khamar. Actually, khamar, alcohol, in Arabic, the root is the same. Anything that covers. And khamr, alcohol, called khamr because it covers the intellect. Subhanallah. يَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ What is خُمُرِهِنَّ? خُمُرِ الْخِمَار is a piece of cloth that usually covers the hair. Once I say khimar, that means the hair is covered. Like when I say a trouser, trouser means the private part and the legs, part of it or all of it is covered.
Right.
And Allah is not saying cover your hair. The hair is already covered. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جِيُوبِهِنَّ On their jayb. Jayb is the opening. You know that like the V-neck? the V-neck, that's a jaib. And at that time, they used to cover, they drop like the dupatta these days, we see it, cover the hair and throw it in the back. But this part is showing. And Allah said, and this is an order, by the way, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ, any order in the Quran means it's an obligation. Unless there is another place or in the same verse that changes it. And Allah said, tell them, يَضْرِبْنَ, bring it tight. Let this touch this. عَلَى خُمُورِ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ, cover it. And he again says, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ, don't show your beauty. And then he went on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in who are the people that I can show my beauty? That's number one. So Ayatul Nur, the chapters 24, Ayah 31. Second one is Al-Ahzab. And Al-Ahzab is 33. Chapter 33. The verse is 59. Ya ayyuha nabi. This is to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh Prophet. Oh Prophet, ya ayyuha nabi. Qul, say, li azwajika, your wives. Wa banatika, your daughters. Wa nisa'il mu'mineen. And the believing woman. Question, I'll throw it to everybody listening to us. Am I nisa'ul mu'mineen? Are you nisa'ul mu'mineen? Are you a believing woman? Yes or no? Of course, yes. You believe in Allah. You believe in the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. It doesn't matter what we are doing. We are all sinners. But I am a believing. That verse is for me. Ya ayyuhan nabi, Prophet, say, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ, your wives, وَبَنَاتِكَ, your daughters, وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ, jilbab. That's the word in the Quran. And what is jilbab? There is a lot of discussion in the, again, in the tafsir in general. What I came in conclusion after looking at many tafsir is the dress that covers the body of the woman. Cover the body of the woman, long, and covers the body of the woman. Whether it is an abaya, whether it is a long white shirwal qamis, whether it's a long thobe, under it a white pants like what you see in Turkey, as long as it is wide and does not describe the body. Mm-hmm. These are the two orders in the Quran. These are muhkam, we say it. When you study the Quran, these verses is no doubt about them. No doubt about them. Mm-hmm. Obligation. Number two, and that's where I want Maryam to jump in, Sheikha Maryam. The word choice, yeah, Sheikha Maryam. You hear this a lot. It's my choice to wear it or not to wear it. Have you heard that?
Absolutely.
Please, please come on in and comment on it.
There's an interesting concept with choice. A lot of times when we look at women who wear hijab or struggle with hijab or choose to remove hijab, one of the points that are brought in is that the recognition that it's an obligation, yes, but at the same time, thinking that it is my choice whether or not I'm going to follow that obligation, which is 100% true. But there's also this conversation that I've heard so many times wrapped up in that, and that is that if somebody feels like they're a hypocrite with wearing hijab, they choose not to wear it because they feel like, yes, it's an obligation, yes, it's a choice whether or not I'm going to follow that obligation, but it's more righteous not to seem hypocritical if, for example, I struggle with hijab. Maybe a sister wears it sometimes, but not other times. And I think that concept wrapped up in choice is one of the things that as Muslim women, we need to really reconcile. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us that the mujahid, and in this context, I'm going to say spiritual warrior, is the one who fights against his or her soul in the obedience of Allah. And so when we're talking about, yes, it's a choice whether or not you're going to follow an obligation, it's the same thing as when we struggle to pray. Would we say that if you struggle to pray all of the prayers, you shouldn't pray any of them at all? You should become a perfect Muslim before you choose to pray? We wouldn't have that type of discussion when it comes to something as critical as salah. So in the same way, yes, it's a choice whether or not we're going to follow any commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely. But at the same time, it's an obligation from someone who loves us more than anyone. And sometimes recognizing that in the struggle itself, it doesn't make us hypocritical. It doesn't make you a bad believer. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling this person a mujahid, because regardless of the fact that you don't even want to do it, you're struggling with it. Sometimes you see yourself in it and you hate it, but you still do it anyway. You still make that choice anyway. That person is a spiritual warrior in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So if I want to summarize, I use this term and you comment on it. When people tell me it is my choice, and you always use the same word. You know what is the beautiful thing about this deen? There's a lot of beautiful thing about Islam. I always use these two. Number one, لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. No soul will carry the burden. The burden here means the sins of another person. I disobeyed Allah, my mom will not be accountable when I am grown up. Right? My sister did something, disobedience to Allah, I am not going to be asked about it. Allah is going to ask me about it. That's number one. The second beauty is, man sha'a. You will, you want. So the choice, and I always say this, I said, absolutely, it's a choice. The choice is to obey Allah or not to obey Allah. Mm-hmm. It's a big word. Mm-hmm. It's the same as salah, same as fasting Ramadan. There is no difference. Mm-hmm. No difference. Same as paying zakah and you are eligible to pay. It's the same. It's obligations. So when people tell me I don't fast Ramadan, and they say, for no reason, I just don't fast Ramadan, I don't judge anybody. Mm-hmm. I say, you know what? That's your choice. Mm-hmm. But I will add one thing. Each one of us, and I keep reminding myself of this, each one of us, and some of you may have heard me saying this many times, we all are going to have a private interview with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each individual, Muslims, non-Muslims, young and old, at what time? At one time. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Everyone, they're going to come to him, subhana, alone. In that private interview, there will be nobody else with me. And nobody is going to come to my rescue. It's going to be me, him, subhana, and my book. I need to have a good reason to tell him why I did not choose to obey him. Mm-hmm. Because that's the question. That's the choice I always, because by the way, this is very common, not only from people, even us individually. It comes to us and say, I'm weak. It's very hard. And it is very hard. Again, in the beginning, keep reminding myself, I am going to be meeting him. Mm-hmm. And I will need to answer to him. Mm-hmm. So the choice is obey him or don't obey him. This brings me to the other one. Why do you think it's very difficult, Ya Maryam? You grew up in this country, right? You were born, raised in California. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it difficult?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Now tell me why.
So there's three different paths that I think when we as a Muslim community talk about or consider women wearing hijab and the struggle with it that we should look at. The first one is the way we share a Muslim woman's role in our community and the emphasis on hijab. So for example, I was so blessed, alhamdulillah, to travel and recite Quran in all women's spaces in all different parts of the US and in the UK. And I had so many Muslim women approach me in their 40s, in their 50s, and they were telling me that this is the first time I've ever heard a Muslim woman reciting the Quran. I've only heard men reciting the Quran. You're the first woman I've ever heard recite the Quran. And had I heard a woman recite it before, I would have thought, I can do it too. And we're talking about women who haven't heard a woman reciting the Quran for decades. And for some reason, maybe their family, maybe their community, maybe their upbringing, because they never saw a model of it, they never thought that they could do it too. And so sometimes when we talk about hijab, we so link Muslim women and their roles of hijab with solely this being their only role in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like sometimes when we talk about your piety as a Muslim woman, we only focus on the obligation of hijab, which is so important. It's so critical. But we don't also provide spaces for a woman to learn about what it's like to be a Muslim woman with the Quran or with Usul or with the Seerah. What it's like to be a Muslim woman and learning about the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes when we reduce the role of a Muslim woman just to her hijab, and we don't, as a community, focus also on building her up, mentoring her, supporting her. When we go out in California and all of the messages towards women is about your beauty and your dress size and the way you look and the length of your eyelashes and 15 years ago how thin your eyebrows were and 15 years later how thick your eyebrows are, if that's the only message we're receiving in our general society, and then we go into the Muslim community and the only message we're receiving in the Muslim community is your iman is completely and only related to the way that you present yourself, then it leaves very little for women who are struggling with hijab, because really the only roles that we are consistently seeing is your hijab is really equated to your iman. And of course it's a part of iman. But one of the reasons I think women struggle with it is because we haven't been given the examples of Nusayba radiallahu anha in the battle with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We haven't been given detailed examples of Fatima radiallahu anha as a mother and the way that she raised her children. We haven't been given detailed examples of Khansa bint Amr radiallahu anha and the way that she wrote poetry. So we have all of these different companions radiallahu anhum who we can say did these incredible things with hijab, and they did this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't necessarily actively create those roles in our communities for women to follow. And so sometimes when we're just reduced only all of Islam and Muslim women's spaces just to hijab, if a woman is struggling with a different part of Islam or her relationship with Allah, it becomes very easy to see hijab as the first part of that core of that struggle. And another thing is that I've talked to so many Muslim youth, and so many times these young girls in middle school are telling me that they're wearing their hijab for the sake of their husbands. They're telling me that they're wearing their hijab so that they're saving themselves, or so that they're protected from men seeing them. And while protection is one of the wisdoms in many cases, at the same time, when we share with our young daughters that the reason we wear hijab is protection from men or to protect men, and that's the only reason we wear hijab, we then make hijab about men instead of about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Dr. Haysa, you beautifully spoke about the ayat. These verses are about being a believer and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many opportunities to step in to the roles, the raw, powerful roles that He has created for Muslim women with all of these different guidelines. When we make hijab only about men, we then ignore the responsibility of men and the hijab that they need to be wearing. If a woman never gets married, or she has trauma in her marriage, or even any type of abuse, and especially, may Allah protect everyone, sometimes it comes from their own families. So then does like hijab become obsolete? Is hijab no longer relevant? It's no, when we base hijab on men, we then cause women to struggle when they have struggling relationships with men. Because hijab is not about men, it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has created so many wisdoms in terms of the reasonings why we wear hijab. And this point is very, I think, a nuanced one, because then we have to look at a woman's individual reasoning for wearing hijab. There are so many reasons why women choose to wear hijab and choose to remove hijab. And sometimes I've met women who have made this decision because of immense trauma they've experienced, depression they've experienced, because they were suicidal. I've met women who have chosen to remove it because they struggle with their self-confidence. They're in a different part of their lives where maybe they put it on and they felt, you know, very bold and very passionate about Islam in the MSA. They had a lot of good friends. 10 years go by, you know, maybe they've been struggling to get married. Maybe they're a mother with children and they're going through postpartum depression. All of these things start to impact the way that they feel about their hijab. So there are so many reasons why different women choose to remove it. But I think going back to this conversation of when we recognize that, yes, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ, it is absolutely every single person's individual responsibility to choose to wear hijab and to maintain that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we have sisters who are going through a lot of different emotional issues. And as a community, we can provide mentorship and support so that we can help our sisters feel like they can maintain it. so that inshallah we can help our sisters feel like this is something that I can relate to. And despite whatever they're going through in their lives, in their relationships, in their emotions, that they have a safe place in the masjid to come back to, that they can make sujood in, and they feel like they belong in. Because so many times we don't feel like we have a space to belong. And if you don't feel like you have a space to belong in your own masjid, in hijab, then how can we expect women to feel like they have a space to belong in every other aspect of their lives? That doesn't take away anything from the obligation of hijab and its importance. But at the same time, as a community, we should start asking ourselves how we can support sisters who are struggling with hijab.
I loved what you said. And I just want to welcome everybody. Alhamdulillah, I'm looking. We have people from all over the world. We have from India, from Alhamdulillah, which is great, because again, this topic needs to be discussed. And you brought up a very good point. Number one is the example. Example. We all grew up with example, especially the young, and even not very young. You always in your life, there is someone you look and you say, I want to be like her. Right? Or I want to be like him.
And that's modeling.
Exactly, model. That's him or her is what we sometimes are missing in our Muslim community. And I'm talking specifically about the woman. That's where I am cautious about using the word empowering woman, because sometimes I feel it's being abused as a word.
Yes, agreed.
But in the Muslim community, I agree with you. Empowering woman, the role model. Meaning, this is how I always, one of the things made me memorize the Quran is was a sister who I came to know. And I said, she's a physician and I am. She could do it. I can do it. Done.
SubhanAllah.
That's the model. That's the model. So this is going to every woman is listening to me. Alhamdulillah, in Jannah Institute next month, we're going to start one of our courses for the fall. Is going to be the pearls around the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The woman pearls, and I'm not going to talk about history. History, you know it, but what is their role model? And it's so interesting when you see the wives and his daughter, each one had a name, not their name, the nickname they were called because of the role they played. And these are women, very different background. So number one is look in your community. Again, our discussion today, and I'm speaking as a physician, is not only finding the problem. The problem is there. We know it. It's how can we solve it?
Yes.
What can we do? At least bring the treatment. If they want to use it, they don't. We pray for everybody. But number one is, yes, every woman is listening to me. If you are a woman who Allah blessed you with the strength to wear the hijab, be the role model for the younger people. Be there for them. And absolutely for our masajid, and that's another topic. Yeah, Maryam, we also have a Tuesday program. Next week, inshallah, we have Sheikh Yasir Qadi as our guest, where we are talking about education. Women needs to learn their deen. Learn their deen properly. Now, one of the difficulties I have seen and I heard and I noticed, and this is honestly my observation, these days it's very hot where I live in St. Louis. So when you go out to the grocery shop and you see all these young girls, basically they are almost wearing nothing, almost, right? I mean, barely. And I was thinking in my mind, these young girls, the Muslim girls, when they see this, how difficult it is for them not to be like everybody else, right? And to blend in. But I did this search, and this search will really amaze you. I looked, there were studies. There's studies there, and I'll give you all the reference, that looked at the mental health, religion, and culture. And specifically, they looked, same age, a group of women in different parts of the world, and I'll call the studies, that those who practice Islam, including the dress code, versus those who are non-Muslim, non-wearing, and Muslim, non-wearing, and they compared it. And I had this study in front of me. It's in 2016, journal Mental Health, Religion, and Culture. And they looked at the differences in body image, disordered eating between Muslim women, who do and do not wear the hijab. This is mental. And they looked at five things. They looked at it, the factors that help them wear the hijab and what effects on their mental health. Look at this one. Number one, they looked at the weight. The person, the woman who wears hijab, how does she look at her weight? She, how does she perceive her body image? What about disordered eating in women who wear hijab? Young, they're looking at young, and they don't. What about religion or religiosity? If they are religious or not, does it really make a difference? And the body image and perceived support from Allah. These five. And the conclusion was this. They found out significantly lower, look at this, weight discrepancy, social physique anxiety, extremely lower, body dissatisfaction, drive for thinness, internalization of the thin and the muscular ideal, much lower in those who were religious, but not religious externally. They know there is a support from Allah. And this is the key in the treatment. The key they have, they know Allah will keep them strong. Allah will support them. That's one study. Another one from Turkey. This is a Muslim country. And this is from 2017. So this is very recent. Not in the time before Islam became more popular. And they and looked at the following. This was, is they found as the positive relationship between the body image and religiosity. They and between Christian, Muslims, and non-practicing. And this is what they found. Age from 17 to 46. And they looked at external and internal. They found veiled woman, meaning woman who wear hijab. And they use the word veiled. By the way, you see this a lot in the when you read. They don't use the word hijab. They used veiled because that's actually veiled, right? More accurate. It's more accurate. So the veiled woman score much lower on social appearance anxiety than non-veiled woman. All form of religiosity, which is basically intrinsic, external, popular, all these are highly negatively correlated. Negatively meaning the higher this, the lower is this. More religious internally connected with Allah, much less anxiety about social appearance. The key, and this is one of the treatment, the key, and I say this to every woman, young and old, listening to me, and from the bottom of my heart, and I am extremely honest, and Allah is my witness. Nothing will keep you wearing the proper dress, and I'm not going to use the word hijab only, because that's something I'm going to come to it later, and I want you, Maryam, to comment on that. Nothing will keep you happy wearing it with confidence unless you have this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are connected with Al-Qawi, with the strong, that's his name, then you are strong. You are connected with Al-Qahhar, then you can overcome your weaknesses. The first issue to keep you strong, to keep you wearing it, to make you take the first step and continue on the path, is work on your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the first advices I got, and we all go through this, when you achieve what you want in life, you graduate, you get your degree, you get married, you get your children, and then at one point you feel there is a void. There is like you got everything, what's next? And this is very common. And the advice, I heard it from many, many scholars, is have the right connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَصْلِحِ حَالَكُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَصْلِحُ حَالَكُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Rectify your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another study, strength of faith and body image in Muslim and non-Muslim. The stronger their faith, the less anxiety about the body image. Another one, I have about six studies, but for the sake of time. Bottom line, cult is because where is my focus? My focus on my relationship with Allah, then I don't see what everybody else is seeing. Am I right here, Maryam? You don't see it.
Absolutely.
And I need you to hear from you as a young woman growing up. How did you do it? You had all these struggles, right?
Yes. There's three points, Dr. Haifa, that you were speaking, especially about the studies that I was reflecting on my personal experiences with hijab and some of the things that I've heard from women. And so one of them is this concept of self-esteem, the idea of comparison, the way that you see your body image and the way that you feel about yourself. Absolutely, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the number one most important factor in any struggle that we have, especially something as public as hijab. Because you only do it for the sake of Allah. And if you do it for any other reason, it becomes very easy to question why you're wearing it. Because when it's super hot, or when you're super frustrated, when you're the only person wearing it, when you're afraid, whatever the reason is, it's very, very easy to blame hijab. But having that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you get through it like climbing a mountain. But at the same time, in climbing a mountain, the rope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the connection that you have to use to get up that mountain, like up that mountain. Yes. But at the same time, you have to wear shoes. You have to have a backpack that has food in it. You have to have picks to help you up that mountain. And all of those things, especially when it comes to mental health, it's so important to seek therapy, to have a support group, to recognize that if you're wearing hijab and if you're wearing it for the sake of Allah and you still struggle with your body and you still struggle with the way that you, you know, present yourself and you hate yourself and you loathe everything about yourself, seek professional support. A connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of the worship of Allah is taking the means. If you don't know, ask the people who know. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So ask the people who know if you don't know. So the important thing, I think, when we're looking at studies like this is taking the comfort that there has actually been psychological research that proves that our relationship with Allah can weather us in the storm. And at the same time, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take the means necessary to not only draw closer to Him, but also to find the support we need from the asbab that He has given us to be able to get through it. And then the second point is when we're talking about you know, the concept of hijab and mental health and depression and body image and all of those things, we also care about women who don't wear hijab and women who are not Muslim and the way that they feel about their bodies. And I remember once when I was in high school, at that time, I had just started getting into Islam and I was so excited about it. And I was wearing hijab. I had just started wearing jilbab. And there was not that jilbab is a necessity. I just happened to wear jilbab in, but the concept of, you know, this very modest, loose dress. But I was with, you know, in this class, and I started walking up to this place where I was supposed to go. And I hear two of my male classmates talk about another girl in our class, and they were describing her body. And they were talking about how hot she is and the curves over her body. And I'm hearing this as I'm walking by. And I'm about to say something, and they see me. And they say, oh, we are so sorry that you heard us say that. We respect you so much. We would never say something like that about you. And I was like, why don't you respect her too? Yes, you may carry yourself in a certain way with hijab, which is comprehensive. Hijab is not just about covering. It's a comprehensive interaction with other people. It's the way you're generous with people. It's the way that you lower not just your eyes, but your thoughts from certain things. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about men and commanding them to lower their gaze before the ayat on the ayah on lowering your gaze and covering for women. Because if we don't train our men to wear their hijab, if we do not have men who are aware of their responsibility in supporting women, and not just Muslim women who wear hijab, but all women are their sisters in humanity. They should respect any person. Now, of course, we wear hijab because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is the best for us. He's al-Hakim. And He is the one who has mandated this for us out of His love for us. And at the same time, as women who wear hijab, we have to work to create a society where other women who are not Muslim, where other women who are Muslim but don't wear hijab, find that with women in hijab too, they feel a sense of support and safety, and they feel that with men. And I've actually met women who've converted to Islam because they were in a bar and they were with Muslim men. And of course, Muslim men and women should not go to bars to make dawah. But they were getting drunk with someone and they said, this Muslim man, even though he knew he was doing something wrong, he treated me with more respect than any other man has ever treated me in a bar. And that's what made her want to learn about Islam. So the concept of obviously that's not a good example, but my point is that hijab is not just about the way that we dress. It's also about our interactions, not just the concept of modesty, but also the concept of caring and supporting people. Because when you have a sense of haya and this sense of haiba in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to create this is a society where people are respected too. And hijab is something that's supposed to inculcate that within ourselves and in our interactions with other people.
I fully agree with you, yeah, Maryam. I have a couple of things, subhanAllah, as you were talking, came to my mind. And this is going to be to every woman who have not yet started. She's thinking of it, but she has this fear. And this fear is so real. One of the questions I had when I first did it, and from one of my family members, said, what about if you changed your mind? What about 6 months from now, you find out that this is not for you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. It is so true. And Allah sent me a friend who taught me this dua. And then, of course, I learned it, alhamdulillah. And I'm going to say this dua to everyone. And this, you can apply it in any step, in any act of worship. You want to obey Allah. You started, but then you are back. Mm-hmm. Or you're so hesitant to start. And we are, the subject is woman dress, so we'll use it for that. Allahumma inni as'aluka thabat.
Mm-hmm.
Allahumma inni as'aluka thabat. Mm-hmm. Look at what I am saying. Ya mm-hmm. Allah, you're mm-hmm. turning to Him, not to anyone. And who's going to respond? Amma yujibu al-muttarra idha da'a. Who else will respond the person in need except Allah? Allahumma, oh Allah, inni, me, as'aluka, I ask you, at-thabat, steadfastness.
Mm-hmm.
Steadfastness. May Allah reward the person who taught me this long time ago when I first did it. I can't tell you what this dua did. And now in every challenge, and challenges in life, it's not ending. This is life, right? So that's number one. Number one is feeling up and down is very common. Mm-hmm. But the feeling up and down doesn't mean when I am down, I am going to just succumb to it. And mm-hmm. I just did it. It's my choice. No, that's the easy way. That's what I say to myself. The easiest way is to sleep in the morning and don't wake up at 4 a.m. Right? Or 5 a.m. Much easier, right? Much easier to be like everybody else. Allahumma inni as'aluka thabat. Number one. Number two. Remember this hadith, my beautiful sisters. Ja' al-Islamu ghariba. Wa sayaudu ghariba. Fatuba al-ghuraba. Islam came as a stranger. And it will return as a stranger. Tawba. Glad tiding, place in Jannah for those strangers. Do you want to be a stranger? Do you want to be a stranger? What a stranger. We're all strangers. But do you want to be a stranger in the sight of Allah? Mm. This is what we need to keep reminding ourselves, how to stay strong. Because if we don't stay strong, we will get weak. We will get weak. Absolutely. What advice you give, Ya Maryam? And this is very popular these days. Social media, I call it silahun dhu haddain. It's a weapon with two pieces. Mm. One can kill you and one can lift you up. So we see an amazing examples of women dress, speak, act, and have a lot of followers. We have women who, mashallah, tabarakallah, have amazing causes. Really, causes pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of followers. But then, suddenly, they were dressed the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, meaning covered. And I know, at one point, when I talk about hijab, I don't talk about head cover only. It's not showing the beauty of your body. And then, they take it off.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I hear this almost every day. What should we do? As people want everyone to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So I'm not going to say to specific people who want to do that process, absolutely. But I'd like to talk on the culture. There is this culture right now, which is like, be your authentic self. You do you. This is my truth. And while there are so many benefits in those terms, when they're connected to what grounds us, which is a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those terms can actually be very harmful if you do you and speaking your authentic truth isn't grounded in something. When we are 19, or when you're, think of yourself at 14, think of yourself at 24, think of yourself at 54. The things that are important to you at 14 are going to be very different from 54. You might have some core principles that you stick with, but your life experiences, the people who have come to you, the trauma you've experienced, the joys you've experienced, all of those things are going to shape who you are in different parts of your life. This is why it's a rahmah and an incredible mercy that Allah has given us something to ground us. Being your authentic self is so special when you ground that with understanding your relationship with Allah. And so I like to use the term your eternal self, because we don't just have this moment. We don't know how long we're going to be here on earth, but we do know that we have an entire hereafter where we pray that we will be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and our loved ones in the highest paradise, Ya Rab. And so when we look at that snapshot, your eternal self is who you'd like to be in the moment you're taking that final breath, where you wish you would be. And how do you get there? That process in a culture that tells you to just be yourself. Yes, be yourself. But you know what yourself can look like? It can look like the things that you identify with. But it can also look like that grounded in this outward appearance of hijab. Now, I know me saying that can cause people to say, well, do you mean that people who take off their hijab don't have a relationship with Allah? People say, you don't know my relationship with Allah. You know, like my heart is where only Allah can judge my heart. Absolutely. I don't feel like I even need to make those statements because they're so obvious. And we all know that we all support that. But I think speaking to this culture of recognizing that we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes in our community without giving ideas on how to make that connection. Dr. Jinan wrote a book called The Names of Allah. It's the Names of Allah series. It's on virtualmosque.com. I recommend every person there go through one article a week, pick a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you read 2 minutes of, and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that name that entire week. And then the next week you choose another, and the next week you choose another. Because when we talk about you have to have this connection with Allah, absolutely. But then sometimes we don't know who Allah is. And the messages that we've been given, especially specifically as a woman, is often rooted in your piety is very much attached to the way that you're dressed. And so if someone is struggling with that, they don't know how they can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they're struggling with the thing that's supposed to make them the most pious. And that's not the message of Islam. That's sometimes the message that our community gives us. So how can I connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by each of his specific names? Reading the Quran in high school for me changed my life. I read it in the English translation. I'm not Arab. I didn't study Arabic at that time. Reading the translation changed my life. And you know, Dr. Haifa, when I transitioned my hijab to start covering myself like the way I'm wearing it right now, I hated it. I remember standing in front of the mirror and just praying, like you said, oh Allah, make it beloved to me, because I hated it. So, oh Allah, make it beloved to me, make it beloved to me. And I started to learn who Allah is. I trusted him because I read his book in English, learning about the messages he's given me. I'm starting to learn about his names and attributes. And I said, I'm going to accept that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking of me, even if I don't understand it. And I'm not saying women who've removed their hijab haven't done that. I'm telling you my personal experience. That process is what saved me when I struggled with my hijab. Today, I'm running after toddlers. It is super hot. Sometimes my hijab gets in the way. I'm frustrated. I'm sweating. And I'm saying, oh Allah, let me go to a place in paradise where I can feel the things that I'm asking for right now, because I know who he is, so I trust what he's asked me to do. And again, I'm not saying you don't know that as someone who's struggling with your hijab. I'm just saying, instead of focusing on why you want to remove it, ask yourself, why should you keep it on? Sometimes when we think about the reasons why a sister wants to remove it, it's not necessarily hijab itself. It's something she's going through. I've been approached by so many women going through divorce or struggling to get married or in struggling marriages who want to remove it because of that relationship. That's not hijab. That's your relationship. If that was not there in your life, would you be struggling with hijab? Think about the cause of what's causing you to struggle with hijab. And if that was removed, is it that that's causing you to struggle, or is it your hijab? And look at really, you know, make that distinction between hijab and what you're struggling with. And then finally, sometimes women struggle in our community because of a misunderstanding and misapplication of ayat and ahadith that we don't understand as women. Sometimes those ayat and ahadith, which are so beautiful and healing for us when we understand them, can be presented in a way that actually causes harm for women. And that can be on by an individual. It can be even in the policy of a masjid that's based in a misunderstanding or a cultural issue, not actually Islam. And so women struggle with their iman and they struggle with their hijab because of those messages that they're receiving from these structures or from these individuals. And really learn about these. I took a class in college. It was called a Woman in Islam. I took it because I thought I'm going to teach the professor about the most empowering things about Islam. I knew that she was going to say things that were trying to show how Islam doesn't empower women. And again, that word empowerment, but this concept of uplift women. And she brought up things that I had no idea how to respond to. My iman was so challenged in that class that it took me 3 years before I was able to actively study women in Islam again. Because I was so afraid that if I studied women's issues, that it would cause me to go further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I focused my time on memorizing the Quran. I focused my time on learning Arabic so that I could access the text that taught us about the Sahabiyat and all of these issues that sometimes we think are all of Islam, but might be one opinion or might be one masjid's cultural practice. And when we look at those areas and we look at a Muslim woman comprehensively, the culture that we can create in our masajid is one where Muslim women want to wear hijab because they feel supported in it. They feel like they can be assertive and dynamic and energetic, and that's all modest too. All of those things are still modest when you do them in a modest way. And so for us, I think as a community, when we look at recreating the spaces that we have, we can inshallah then hope that Muslim women who struggle with this issue can see these ayat and these ahadith, get the answers that they're looking for, and then feel like they can continue to wear hijab feeling strong in it because they see it as a form of this raw power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Muslim women and not a tool of inequality or disempowerment, which is unfortunately oftentimes not just a personal feeling that a woman feels, but a message that she receives from the way that the structure of the community is created.
Jazakallahu khair, ya Maryam. It's extremely, I loved it. SubhanAllah, we have only 3 minutes left, but I just want to add a couple of things. The base to start with in any act of obedience to Allah, right? Whether it is the dress code, whether it's my salah, whether it is my submission to Allah, whether accepting the test, the challenges I go, that we need to, it's the foundation, like you're building a home. Yes. Look at now my relationship with Allah. I am building a home, right? And yes. Allah gave me the material. He gave it to me. Most of us born as Muslims, He gave it free. Some had to go and buy it. The foundation of that house is the following. And it, back to knowing Allah. Allah is al-adl. Allah is the just. Number yes. one. Number one. Every ruling He put is just. I can understand it. I cannot. It's difficult. Society will not accept it. That doesn't make it wrong. It just, Allah is the just. That's number yes. one. Number two, Allah is al-qawi. And I say this again because I use this name a lot. Every time I feel weak, ya qawi, qawini. That's how I say it. Even physically, when I get overwhelmed at work and I really have to go and do something, and I was like, ya qawi, qawini. You are all strong. Give me the strength. We are nothing. Ya ayyuhal nas, antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah. Wallahu al-ghaniyu al-hamid. Oh, people, you are the beggars, the poor, if you compare to Allah. And Allah is all al-ghani al-hamid. He's all rich. He's self-sufficient. So the foundation, and this is to every woman, struggling, took it off. You wanted to put it back. You already did it and you want to stay strong. Foundation is everything Allah said is a truth. The way it's presented, the way I look at it, that's a different thing. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two. The challenge is the people around us. And there was a yeah. question who I put it beautifully. And please forgive me, sisters. We can't take all the questions. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we may do part two of this, ya Maryam. Number two is the people. The most challenging factor to a woman when she decides to do it is the people around her. The question comes in, what people will say about me? How people will accept me? I say this, I hear this all the time. Are you telling me tomorrow I'm going to go to the workplace where I've been there for a year or two and they suddenly see me different? Or I am going to go to the class and they used to me? My answer is the following. If you decide tomorrow you're not blonde, or you're blonde, and tomorrow you decide you're going to change your hair color, you are not blonde, you decide you want to be blonde, and you are not blonde, and you're blonde and decided to make your hair black, what's going to happen next day when you're going to go? Everybody will look at you. Everybody will ask you, right? And then second and third day, done. Meaning, any change, people will ask. Just get ready. Just get ready for that day and keep asking Allah to keep you strong. What about husbands? And that question came in. It's a very true scenario. When the husband does not accept, that's a very difficult one. And I will not give a general answer because it's every case by its case. But it is a true scenario. In general, ask Allah to change that person's heart. Ask Allah to give you patience. Ask Allah to keep you strong. Again, if you heard anything common between all of us, what we said today is it is a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hablullah al-mateen, the strong rope of Allah. Hold to it. Maybe the change will not come right away. I can share with you scenarios of people I know where the husband absolutely said, it's either your head cover, actually he didn't even say head cover, what you have on your head, or I am leaving you with the four children. Yes, these are reality. And of course she had not to do it at the moment because there's four children. But guess what?
Of course.
But guess what happened? Patient, a lot of dua, she was obeying Allah and everything, and Allah knows her heart is there. After 2 years she did it and he's absolutely fine with it. Ya Mughayyir, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub. Allah changed it. So ladies, what I'm trying to say, and Maryam, I will leave you the last word. Don't, and I say this to myself before anyone, don't sell your dunya. Don't sell your akhirah for dunya. It doesn't worth it. It's a lost game. How long we will live? How long we will live? 50, 60, 80? And the eternal is there. Eternal is there. And I'll share one hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is about dress code in general, and this is in Muslim. And he said, two group of people, I have not seen them yet. Group one is men who will be carrying a whip-like, and they will be hitting people. And number two, women. And this is what he said, kasiyatun ariyat, they are dressed but they are as if they are not dressed. Described their hair, and he said, these two group of people will not smell the smell of Jannah. Does it really worth it? Does it really worth it? And this question to everybody, does it really worth it to sell my Jannah, my eternal, for a 50 or a 60 year to please these people? Maryam, I leave the last word to you.
I just want to add one thing, and then I'll inshallah have an ending point. With regards to marriage, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed that person, that husband's heart, and that alhamdulillah she was able to wear hijab with support. This is obviously a different discussion, like Dr. Haifat mentioned, but there are actually obviously abusive husbands and husbands who, you know, have all these circumstances. So please seek professional help as well when you're going through this process. Make dua and seek help from professionals. And I know that's what Dr. Haifat would intended as well. But the last point that I want to leave you with is that sometimes, you know, we feel like we're going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we don't necessarily seek all of the means to run back to him because we might not feel like we're good enough. And I hear this all the time. I don't feel like Allah can ever forgive me. I don't know how Allah will ever forgive me because I haven't forgiven myself. And when we look at Aisha radiallahu anha, she made a statement. And that was that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he told us, do not prevent the female slaves of Allah from ever, the female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from going to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aisha radiallahu anha said about her time, the woman in her time, that if she had, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen women in her time, how, you know, they were dressed and how, you know, they acted and all those things, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have closed that door. And that's not her exact statement. But he wouldn't have made that statement. Ibn Hajar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Hajar, he then explains that if Aisha radiallahu anha saw that in their time, in his time, that woman had access to the market, like our time. You can go to the market and the mall, you can go to the movies, you can go to anywhere, but the masjid can be hard to access. Imam Ibn Hajar mentions that Aisha radiallahu anha said, would have said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha would have said that it's an obligation for a woman to go to the masjid. And that was so confusing the way I explained that. What I'm just trying to say is that when you're struggling with your faith, and sometimes you feel like the masjid isn't the space to go for you, especially if you don't feel like it's comfortable for you to go there, know that Allah's doors are open for you, that He wants you to go back to Him. And that if you can't forgive yourself, that doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't forgiven you. Now, when you struggle with yourself, something you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 weeks ago, you make tawbah for it, you go back to Allah and you want to change. But then you feel like, how can I? I can't even forgive myself for doing this thing. The way that you see yourself is not necessarily the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. He can obliterate all of your mistakes with His mercy. So go back to Him, go back to the masjid, put your head on the floor in sajda, seek professional support, find a support group that's going to cheer you on, inshallah, in this journey that's a lifetime, especially with all the ups and downs of life, emotionally, physically, relationships, all of that. And know that at the end of the day, when you do something for His sake, that you walk towards Him, He runs towards you. So just take that step, even if it's slow and you feel like you're broken and you're shattering, and let Him run towards you. And don't give up on yourself, because He certainly hasn't given up on you, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. I will end up with, of course, a verse from the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I love this verse. It's the last verse in Surah Al-Ankabut. The spider. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Look what Allah is saying. Those who struggle in our cause. Any act of obedience these days is a struggle. جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. For us. Not فِي سَبِيلِنَا. فِينَا. For us. Look what will happen. It's so hard to go to the masjid because it is not welcoming. It's so hard to put that scarf or dress properly because I think everybody will look at me. I think I'm going to not look nice. Look what Allah said. Struggle, put it in. It's hard, but I'm gonna do it. He said, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. We will. And who's saying it? Allah. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. There's so many stress in the Arabic language in this just two words. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. For sure, we will guide them to our way. You know what that means? You're so scared to enter the masjid because you don't know what people will say. Suddenly you find the sweetest woman saying, oh, welcome them. You think you're going to go tomorrow to work and you're wearing this scarf and everybody will make fun of you and say, wow, you look much nicer. That's نَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Allah will make the impossible possible. And then He said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And verily Allah is with those who act with ihsan, excellence with Him. And if Allah with me, who's going to be able? Who will give me anything if Allah will not? And who will take anything from me if Allah will? Sheikha Maryam, I loved it. I enjoyed it, but we are already 8 minutes over time.
Jazakallahu khair.
Yes, subhanAllah. It's Maghrib time here in St. Louis.
Oh, make ta'af for us.
Yes, and I am sure we'll have more. Please forgive me, everyone. We could not entertain your questions. Inshallah, we will try to do another one of this, because again, this is a very real topic, affect everybody, and this is what we are trying to do on a Tuesday program, is pick up topics that is real from our daily life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakallahu khair.
Such an honor to learn from you.
May Allah give my salam to all the ladies in California. May Allah make us meet in person in California and St. Louis. Beautiful ladies.
My California is St. Louis. Maybe Masjid Al-Aqsa and Mecca, Ya Rab. Let's do it there.
Ya Rabbi, I mean, what else I want? Jazakumullah khair, everybody. Please forgive us for going over time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. This will be on our Jannah Institute YouTube. So if you want to go back to it or invite others, please follow us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you will find much more of these. Jazakallahu khair, ya Maryam.
Barakallahu fiki.